Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is brought to you by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Berry.
And as always, glad to be with you wherever you might be listening to us here on Home and Family Finance. I am your host, Paul Berry, in the middle of December. I hope you're warm wherever you are. It's a little bit cold here in the Washington, D.C. area, but wherever you are, I can promise you a warm and an interesting conversation that we're going to have today with two great guests who've come in. One has come in to talk to us. Nicholas Wyman is the author of a new book, folks. It's called Job U, How to Find Wealth and Success by Developing the Skills Companies Actually Need. What is that? Are you kidding me? Are we graduating our kids from college when and they're missing the boat in terms of what they should be learning? We'll ask Nicholas to explain that and to understand why we have some 53% of our recent college grads sitting at home or underemployed, and yet there are 3.5 million jobs out there that are unfilled. What the heck is going on? Then from him, we're going to turn over to another young man. His name is Rod Robertson. He, too, finds a need to put what he knows down in a book, and it's called Winning at Entrepreneurship. Do you know that most of us want to open our own business? And many of us do. And of those that do, 50% fail. Why? Why does that happen? I don't want you to fail. He's got insider tips on buying, building, and selling your own business. And he'll be with us later during this hour. So sit back and relax as we now turn to Nicholas Wyman, who, by the way, is in studio. He's great to look, handsome, has an Australian accent to die for, lives in New York, travels the world, and has written a book called Job U. Welcome to Home and Family Finance.
Absolutely delighted to be here.
We're pleased to have you here, especially on this topic that we're talking about. We know that we've run up tremendous debt to educate our children. Today, as a matter of fact, the debt for college loans is higher than our credit card debt. So we are paying the price.
That's right. It's sitting at $1.2 trillion.
But we're not getting our money's worth, or are we?
Well, that's not only expensive for the economy, it's expensive for the individual. You know, the individual student loan debt is around $30,000. And I've met young people who have $250,000 in debt. And we'd all know if we're carrying a little bit of debt on our credit card, we know that feeling. So multiply that. And it's really going to have impact on our economy moving forward.
So what's going on here, Nicholas? Wait a minute. We have young people who've graduated. We have employers looking for people to come to work. And yet they're not. There's a disconnect here. What's going on?
Well, people call it the skills gap. I call it people without jobs and jobs without people. And what's really going on is we've got to look at, you know, outside the US, we've got to look at what's going on globally. And I think we'll see that the whole way that the world's economies are shifting is having an impact on the way that businesses are having to operate. So this year is going to be the first year that China becomes the world's largest economy. So for all businesses in the US, or most businesses in the US, they're going to have to change the way they operate on many fronts. And this means they need different types of skills to run their businesses.
Well, if you know that, and business knows that, why doesn't the educational industry, why aren't we teaching children in school what they need to know to get a job when they get out?
Well, it really has to be a partnership to solve this problem, because we can blame educators or we can blame government and say, well, come on, government, what are you doing to solve this? Record high youth unemployment in some areas. And I think what we really need to say is, how can people work together in a coordinated way? But it's fair to say that many small to medium-sized employers particularly either don't have the time or don't have the resources to be able to work with the educators. And so it's really this self-fulfilling prophecy where, you know, the gap is actually getting wider. So people are leaving our education systems in droves with what I'd call practical workplace skills. Skills like the ability to communicate, work in teams, basic literacy and numeracy. These are skills that people need to get on in any job, whether it be going to 4-year college, going to community college, or undertaking an apprenticeship. You need these basic skills to get on.
Okay, let me make it even more basic than that then. I just graduated from college. I have my degree in whatever I have it in, okay? I come to you and I say, Mr. Nicholas, I can't get a job. Why can't I, and what do I need to do to get to be hired?
Well, I think many employers are going to look at you or look at your CV and say, well, what real-world practical skills do you bring to the table? So I'd always say, people say, well, I've either had a gap year and travelled to a great country, I'll put in a plug for Australia, go and have a gap year in Australia. What I'd say is, if you're going to go to another country or you're going to take some time off from your studies, make sure that the work experience or the work that you do while you're having that gap year is related to the area of interest. I think that's really important. So many people I find out are interested in working in the medical area, and then I find out that for whatever reason, they're working as a barista. And I'm not saying there's a problem working as a barista if you have an interest in working in customer service and working in hospitality. But I think it's absolutely critical that people gain on the job and off the job work experience.
Do you see, looking into that crystal ball, do you see that we're likely to be moving in that direction? And is our government, since we're talking primarily about the U.S. unemployment or the lack of employment for American grads, can this be fixed?
Look, I absolutely think it can, and I think there's a real appetite in this country, and that's why I enjoy living and working in the U.S. so much. I really find that that in a sad way, there was the economic downturn that led to a recession, and that has really put people on their front foot to say, what do we need to do to adjust? And so the government has got some really interesting initiatives, particularly in the areas of vocational. There's a real effort to ramp up this idea of learn while you earn, particularly in the area of apprenticeships. And we'd see, going back to 2002, the number of apprentices in this country dropped by nearly 50%. It dropped from just on 500,000 down to about 280,000. While most countries like the UK actually went in the opposite direction. In the UK, there was 400,000 apprentices, and that's now pushing 850,000.
So they're going in the right direction, and we may not be going in the right direction at all. But it sounds like it's curable. I'm talking with Nicholas Wyman. His book, Job U, How to Find Wealth and Success by Developing the Skills Companies Actually Need. When we come back, we'll spend more time finding out what you need to do in order to make yourself employable. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And more from Nicholas Wyman, who has authored the book Job U, How to Find Wealth and Success by Developing the Skills Companies Actually Need. The book actually comes out January 15th, I think.
But, that's right.
But it is available to those who want it now.
Well, people who pre-order the book now, because there's a lot of listeners who are going to be saying, well, this is great. January 15th is a long time away for me, and I actually want to understand what is it that I can do right now? What are the resources available? So the publishers have made available, anybody who pre-orders the book will receive an advanced copy, an advanced chapter of all the resources that they'll need to get them started, and then they'll receive the book when it comes out.
And you're not certainly going to hurt your sales by suggesting to us now, to some degree, because people are listening and saying, hey, okay, I know there's a problem. I know we spend a lot of money. I know we're in debt. How do I get a job, Nicholas? That's what I need. I've got my degree here. I'm not finding a match. How do I get a job?
Well, I think that's really what this book's about, and that I wanted to write a book that was very much a how-to, a roadmap. There's so much information about what's wrong, and I think that the skills gap actually presents a lot of unprecedented opportunities. But I think people need to broaden their horizons about where they might be looking for work or looking at the skills they actually have and ways to brush up on those skills. And it might not be in a traditional classroom setting. So, you know, if I've been at college and I'm unemployed, there's all sorts of interesting and innovative programs. Mm-hmm. But this book is not just for young people. There's a lot of people who might find themselves out of work or have been made redundant, or they're working in an industry that they feel is really for a lack of a better word, downwardly mobile, and they're worried about how do I brush up on my skills. So there's all sorts of online certifications that are available for people who might be working, who are time poor, but there's a lot of the universities now offering through this massive online learning, these things called MOOC, are offering. There's edX and Coursera. There's all sorts of opportunities for people in their home or wherever they are around the world to actually log online and brush up and reboot their skills.
So are you, in one sense, you're saying, hey, folks, look, swallow your pride. If you need to go to apprenticeship, take an apprenticeship. If you need to go back and brush up on stuff that you've missed, swallow your pride and go do that and get a job. Is that a fair
solution? I think people need to take the pressure off themselves and the idea that you don't need to follow the leader. There's nothing wrong with four-year education. But if you start four-year education, you need to know where it's going to end up. Now, apprenticeships and certifications, and I meet plenty of people who actually start off undertaking an apprenticeship and earn while you learn experience and then go on to further study. So in my case, I started off as an apprentice chef when I was 17. My father was horrified. I must tell you, that's a whole nother story. And he tried to dissuade me. He was an academic professor. And I actually ended up studying at Harvard Business School. And so the world is really your oyster. And if you look to some international countries like Switzerland, there's all sorts of opportunities to continually brush up on your skills throughout your life. So I'd say to people, don't panic. Just take a deep breath and actually see what options are available.
One of the options to you is to be a little bit more familiar with Nicholas Wyman, the author of the book How to Find Wealth and Success by Developing the Skills Companies Actually Need. Where is your book available? Where can we find the book?
So it's on all the major resellers, Amazon, and in bookstores you can pre-order.
Okay. All right. This is all about getting you and or the ones you love into a good job. It is possible. And Nicholas knows one of the ways to do that. When we come back, we're going to focus right in on what he calls the expectation gap and how you can listen to what we have to say and make it better. That's the whole idea. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Home and Family Finance here on Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsor is the Defense Credit Union Council, and we thank them for their continued support of this program dedicated to making all of us smarter consumers. If there's a topic or something that you want to discuss, please write to me here, Paul Berry at Radio America, 1100 North Glebe Road, Suite 900, Arlington, Virginia, 22201, or contact me on my website at www.paulberry.com or hffradio.com, your choice. You know, the Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves and their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's Financial Readiness Campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. So check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves. Set a goal. Make a plan. Save automatically. Go to MilitarySaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And, of course, no matter whether you're in the military or whether you're a civilian, saving is vital. Are you saving enough? No, you're not. Save even more. You'll be happy that you did. Saving some time now to get back to Nicholas Wyman so that he can give you information that hopefully will head you in the right direction. And, Nicholas, that's what we're hoping to do here. The takeaway for my audience is, hey, look, we know what the problems are. We know, you know, I know part of what your book says that we will actually try to get the unemployment in this country down to zero. Well, that unemployment's not likely to happen. But what is likely to happen in the next, say, 2 years?
Well, I think that when you particularly look at youth unemployment, it's devastating to see that it stubbornly sits at 3 to 4 times the average unemployment rate. So we really have to invest in our young, or it's going to have dire impacts for the economy. So I think it's in everybody's interest to engage people in the workforce. And so I think there's a lot of employers out there who might be listening. And I'd say, in Australian speak, I'd say you need to give that person a go. And I think there's a real appetite to train people on the job. And people often say, well, employers aren't prepared to give me a go.
Yeah.
If you approach an employer with the right can-do attitude and an open mind, most employers will look at taking you on and will look at training you on the job. And that's really interesting when you look at the types of certifications that can be undertaken once you start with an employer. So, you know, there's great opportunities out there.
I mentioned a couple of terms. You've explained the skills gap, the expectation gap. Did you say in the process that we talked about that?
I think that quite often both employers and employees have unrealistic expectations. And I look at ways to actually bridge this gap. And quite often that gap can be bridged through intermediary programs, community-based programs where they're bringing employees and employers together. But from an employee's perspective, I think you really need to tune in to what are the pressures and what are the opportunities in any particular business or industry. I note that you get a lot of graduates who arrive and say to an employer, what's in it for me? And this is what I want to be paid. And this is my expectations. The world has changed. Gone are the days of where the college graduates go to the basketball court and there's all these tables set up where the employers are saying, please come and work for me. We really want to employ you. That's not happening anymore. So I think people really need to look at what they're going to bring to the table and then understand how they can achieve that. And it really is just, as I said, take a step back. People have got skills within. They don't realise. So there could be a job program within your community. If you're unemployed, sitting at home, don't despair. Look in your community. But as I said, look around. Look into the neighbouring suburbs or look into the neighbouring county. So many times I see people have, you know, blinkers on, and they're only looking at what's right in front of them. And I think you've got to expand your horizons.
Okay, and if you do that, folks, I think what if I hear you, Nicholas, saying, look, it may not be the plan that you had in place. It may not be the roadmap that you intended. But if you broaden your view, there's something out there that you can get into that at least will keep you employed or get you employed until you find what you really want to do.
I think the number one thing is that if you follow your passion, I think it will come to you. You need to have certifications and certificates, and you need to have all these different things in your life. But one thing is that you live, you know, this is a really important thing for people to get right. You need to follow your passion.
If I want to reach out to you quickly, how do I find you?
So jobubook.com, okay. Or Nicholas_Wyman on Twitter.
You've got it, folks. Nicholas Wyman, the book Job U, available to you. I'd suggest you may find it. Nicholas, thank you so much for being with us.
I've absolutely loved the conversation.
Right.
Thanks
we'll,
so much.
We'll
for
talk
having
again.
Me on the
I promise you that. Coming up next, Rod Robertson winning at the Business U Start. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.